Welcome to the NXT Dynasty podcast. This is week 7 storyline reactions here. So I think you got some big stuff here coming up. Baltimore and Vegas are both on buys in week 8. This is the only two. Jacobs comes up with a chest injury, which is a weird, strikes me as a weird injury. So I'd be interested to see if there's something more there. Just surprised it wasn't a rib. Just a chest injury. You know, wonder if it's like a Bruce Stern or something like that. I'm totally speculating. I don't know. I'm sure. Hopefully, we'll find out. But it just struck me as odd that he was ruled out like during the game. It just struck me as an odd one. So I'm definitely watching that. I think Peyton Barber. I had floated him out there kind of with the where I needed a spot. You know, just trying to optimize. And they're on a bye in week 8. So assuming it's not something major. He was a healthy scratch this week. So I'm not getting super over my skis on him. Like, I'll add him back if it looks like it's going to be a multi-week injury or something for Jacobs. But we are on a bye, and then you know, he's got a full 2 weeks to recover. So at this point, I'm probably not moving him way up the board in terms of priority of guys going into the week. Miles Sanders, x-rays on his ankle. It piqued my interest that it was described as a low ankle sprain, but he's having x-rays. It just didn't seem, and there was something from the coaching staff that it was something they affected, like, oh, we don't think anything's broken. Okay, well, that's interesting. Okay, I don't know why we're doing x-rays then, but okay, that's fine. Let's hope it rules out a break. So we'll be watching that. Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott would be potentially injury away. After Gainwell, I think Gainwell's the clear injury away guy. Boston Scott, maybe they do something on the practice squad waiver. We'll be watching that this week. So those are the two big ones at running back, at quarterback. Mahomes took a hell shot, man. It was brutal. He got kind of like bent up and then just like put on a tee and just like it would almost look like one of those cartoons where you see the guy is like he's like held up and then he just gets like kind of run over, but it looks like he's okay from a head injury perspective. It didn't look it. I would have been surprised if he had gotten a concussion. Just the way he was hit, it was. I actually saw it happen live, and just the way he was hit, it didn't strike me as like, oh, that's a head injury. It struck me as like, oh boy, that's like a chest neck type deal. And he walked out. You know, he walked off fine, but. That he's wind knocked out of him or, you know, something like that. But it looks like strained neck is probably the prognosis. So they do play on Monday night next week. So that will be a little bit extra day to recover from that. So, we'll see how all that goes. There's not a whole lot of thought, I guess, amongst the fantasy analysts, the fantasy injury analysts, so Dr. Gene, Dr. Chow, front of mind there for AOD purposes. Not a lot of concern there that either of them are going to miss significant. Not any concern from either of them that Mahomes is really going to miss extended time. So we'll be watching that one, but that's not one I'm super worried about. Like, I'm not going to scramble and pick up Chad Henne, for example, at this particular point. If he should have been rostered, he should have been rostered already, would sort of be my inclination. And I don't think this isn't going to be a situation where you're going to shift off of a backup running back for a Chad Henne type. I mean, maybe shift off of, I don't know, we'll see what snap reactions reveals, but maybe shift off a Baltimore guy, something like that in the backfield, whoever's not usable. But I it's probably not front of mind there in terms of concerns. Zach Wilson looks like a PCL, probably more than mild, based on the fact that he described it as being loose. That's kind of like the PCL equivalent of a athlete describing a Achilles like getting kicked in the ankle, right? Getting kicked in the calf. That's the I just remember that from years of of Dr. Gene, you know, listening to that sort of discussion about the knee, I think the PCL specifically, it'll be you'll think it'll feel loose, and that's the PCL. It's like a moderate PCL. It's kind of like a IR stint PCL. So Mike White's going to be your backup at. I'd be interested to see what some of the advanced metrics say on him. He was one of the most available backup guys, and I actually had him in a two quarterback league, and I was like looking around, and I'm like, And I was like, Mike White, he's available. Like, I mean, it just seems improper to not roster him. And so here we are. So Mike White looks like he probably is going to get a start, you know, maybe a few starts. We'll see. Maybe they address. I mean, they don't really seem like a Cam Newton situation either. It almost seems like a better situation for them to try and cycle through another backup guy, you know, and I don't know who's out there on the waiver wire or anything that they'd be interested in, but sort of keep taking developmental shots. See what you have in Mike White. Maybe you have a feasible backup, something like that, behind your franchise guy. That seems to make a lot of sense there. Darnold bench, PJ Walker in. I mean, this is who Darnold was, right? I mean, you know, everyone's like, when he started, well, like, oh, look, Darnold, like, gay sucks. Like, you know, it's all, he's regressed back to his mean. I mean, this is the throw everything in a weighted, you know, weighted average random generator, right? A weighted number generator. See what comes out, then write a narrative about it. It's like, okay, yeah, there's a totally reasonable possibility that the first three games of Sam Darnold's 2021 season are the best thing he ever does. Like, there's a decent shot at that, you know, and so that's what happened. And everyone's like, oh, he's a new guy, and it's like, well, no, he's actually the guy that got benched in week 7. But okay, so we'll see there. Again, this is a good example of at least for me, like, why I like Daniel Jones more. Like, it's got more insulation. You know, why I don't really get involved in this tier of the position outside very specific, you know, very, very specific, you know, investments, and Darnold wasn't one of them. So, so I'll be interested. I think that the other shoe to drop is going to be Watson. And it looks like from just my 35,000 foot view reading of it, I should probably do a legal update at some point. I don't think that there's anything there. And what I mean by that is I don't think that there's anything, criminal there that's really gonna, if they were going to indict him, they would have indicted him already. If they were going to charge him with doing this stuff, they would have done it already. It's not a mystery about what happened. This isn't a whodunit, right? This isn't a case where you have to get forensic testing done or, you know, hire an expert. Like, if you felt like you had it, you would have done something about it. You wouldn't have waited. And and that's the big thing. Like, you could always tell, at least when I was doing that job, especially in these types of cases, like, if you had it, you acted. You didn't want someone that you thought was a prolific sex offender out there just preying on people, right? You acted on it. And what's the point on sitting on it if it's good, right? Those cases only get worse. Right? They only get worse with time. They don't get better typically, because, you know, witnesses have to tell the story, you know, 5, 6. And the problem is now they've told the story, right? Now they're being interviewed by, you know, they're being interviewed by the NFL, and, you know, Watson arguably has a right to that, you know, all that information and all those statements, you know, and so, like, that's only going to make it worse. All the stuff with Watson, it's only, I mean, I think time is, you know, I thought you act quickly if you were him to try and nip it in the bud. But as we have sort of gone on here, like, I think the criminal aspect of it really doesn't strike me as concerning as I did initially when this all happened. So it doesn't look like the NFL is going to act either, and they're interviewing these women. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm perplexed that the NFL has not acted, but the fact that they haven't acted at all is really, really interesting. That's really interesting. And I think that there's maybe a difference between, like, a felony and a misdemeanor, how they would treat this. There's a lot of problems with that that I would say just linguistically, and one of the easiest ones is what is qualifies as a felony in New York might not be a felony in Texas, or what qualifies as a felony in Texas might not be a crime in New York or wherever, you know, wherever you're listening. Those inconsistencies are problematic when it's a legal ag policy using the specific definitions of felony and misdemeanor that are undefined in the personal conduct policy. So all that stuff, I'd be really interested to see how they, like, this would be a test case in terms of how the NFL actually defines its own personal conduct policy, because they've done a really crummy job of it in the past. That all said, I don't, you know, there was a felony case here to be made if they believe that he actually forcibly, there was a forcible allegation of a forcible, what we call, criminal sex act in New York. It's forcible oral sexual conduct. And that was the one that I thought was going to be the bad one. Like, that was the one that sends you to prison. And the fact that they haven't acted on that, that's telling to me. And the force angle on that, too, is kind of tough. You know, there's the way that was described, that was the one I thought that was get him in trouble. And the fact that nothing has happened of that, it speaks to probably the more exculpatory version of that. And he said, she said, any sort of problems with describing that is really tough. So, I mean, and so all of that's to say, I think that this thing is turning out well for Watson. The other thing is you know, I heard it in a, I think I saw it in a tweet this week. It was something about the, you know, oh, he's playing this really horribly. Like, how, like, he should just take a trade to get out of Houston. Like, look how bad his situation is. I'm like, really? Like, he's getting paid. I mean, his $100-some-odd million contract is still, you know, in effect, right? It isn't tolling. And he's like, yeah, I want to be traded to where I want to be traded to, because he's playing the long game, right? Like, I don't want to spend the next decade of my life languishing like Matthew Stafford just did. Like, if it takes me 6 months or whatever, where I've got this cloud hanging over my head to just sort of eat all that while I'm getting paid, and you guys can't figure out a trade for me, like, I don't, like, that actually seems fairly well put together in terms of a strategy. And plus, I don't know what the guaranteed monies are down the line and stuff. But again, if you play it out another year, right, and you're just sitting there, there's and then someone trades for you, like, it's more of that money will be guaranteed in the event that something goes bad, right? Because it'll be, you know, and if it's a slow start or something like that, like, you're not in a situation where you're going to get caught. So not that he has to worry about that, but at some point the money won't be guaranteed a couple of years down the line. He sort of insulates himself a little bit more. So I'm not particularly, I haven't been super worried about Watson. I think, you know, maybe we, because of the nature of this, right, we didn't, one of the things that I think that maybe I didn't comprehend or I didn't understand was that Houston was not going to do anything. They were just going to sit on him, right, and make him an inactive. I didn't see that coming. So we might lose 2022 games from him. You know, is there a season long suspension coming up? Maybe. But I don't think, I feel pretty confident that he's going to be a franchise quarterback again. So for what that's worth, that's a long way of saying that, but, I figured I haven't updated that in a while, and I know that, some people have asked me, so. All right, some tight end news here. Jonnu Smith with a shoulder injury, so we'll watch that one. That opens up some room there for Hunter Henry. And I'd be interested to see what the development of guys like, it seems outlandish to say, but Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene, two draft picks from last year that didn't show anything, and then they bring in two guys in the form of Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. I'd be interested to see what the development looks like. You know, so if there is some Jonnu Smith missed time there, I'd be watching that. Darren Waller, it looks like he tripped over somebody. Was the description, he tripped and injured his ankle in practice. Basically just got tangled feet with a teammate. And after Foster Moreau's performance, maybe it was Foster Moreau. Maybe he's like, it was a friendly fire type incident there. So we'll be watching that and see where that is. you know, what the status on that is going forward. Looks like Dak should be good to go. The quote from the Cowboys is, it would have been tough for Dak to play in week 7. So good that he's got an extra week off with the bye. Should be back ready to go. Dr. Jean has Saquon doubtful for week 8 with the ankle injury. Again, I'm more on the optimistic side. Not that I'm disparaging in any way Dr. Jean, but I never thought that whole, oh, look how swollen his ankle is. Like, it was season-ending or anything extreme, like some of the stuff that was people were talking about. I actually thought that was kind of a good sign in terms of, like, an ankle injury. Like, those things, at least they can kind of heal a little bit quicker than, like, a high ankle would, for example, where you don't necessarily see that same stuff. So I'm hopeful for Saquon here. It looks like in the next, maybe week or two that he might be on the mend. Ian Rappaport said outside chance of playing this upcoming week, but would be back the following week. So optimism there, cautious optimism. Nick Chubb, doubtful for week 8, so we'll probably get another Dearness Johnson game. Be really interested to see that. Stefanski said he's hopeful that Chubb would play in week 8. Dr. Jean, not so hopeful. So be really interested to see where that all goes. We're watching Mayfield as well. It's tough on Mayfield to just bounce back on that Thursday night game. So hopefully he'll come back and play well with some full rest. Judy, potential return from IR. Same with Gallup. Will Fuller, probably a couple weeks out still. A couple weeks for McCaffrey as well. Week 9, hopefully, for Kittle. Week 9 or later for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It looks like Logan Thomas is actually eligible to come back next week. But there's some thought that with a week 9 bye, they'll just float it over an extra week until week 10. Michael Thomas, week 10 plus, looks like the expectation for him, which is disappointing. Dr. Jean thinks week 10 plus for Chris Carson, which is interesting. Jeff Wilson's a name, I think, to monitor. David Montgomery out for a while still, we're expecting. Khalil Herbert looked really good again, so be interested to watch that. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's still on crutches, which is terrifying, considering it's been a while and we've sort of hoped for his return. I hope this isn't the last we've seen of him. Like, I hope we haven't seen the end of his career. But at his age, with that sort of serious injury, like, it sucks to speculate about that, but that is a concern that I have. I think one other thing, Russell Wilson, I couldn't even tell you, and I feel like I've played way too much trained professional in this podcast, but one thing I would just note as well, and I don't even know if this is possible, so just file it away, but it looks like Russell Wilson, they're optimistic that, you know, the pin has come out and they're sort of ahead of schedule in terms of the recovery. They think that maybe he can return when he's eligible in week 10. I couldn't begin to tell you if that's even possible or not, but I do think that's a monitor, a watch and see type situation. A couple other things we're watching for information on. Latavius Murray, will be interested to see week 9 when he comes back. Again, it's notable he didn't get put on IR. They do have a bye next week, so maybe we get a week 9 spot. Again, Miles Sanders, Malcolm Brown had a quad injury, so we'll watch that. Salvin Ahmed might be an upgrade guy. And that is pretty much it there at the position. All the Giants guys were out, it was Tony, it was Kenny Galladay. So we'll see with what they do going forward. You know, Shepard, is dealing with a hamstring as well. So, like, it's just a lot of stuff going on with them. We'll see sort of what they can do going forward. Again, big win for them. Like, I don't know. I think Daniel Jones has overcome a lot of adversity. So we'll be watching that. Hopefully a Gronk return. Kittle week 9. Hopeful return. That's the optimistic thing. And then we're watching Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.